You know, that's the great thing about electronic commerce. It is an electronic virtual pipeline, and
exactly.
All that's constructed. And what Bill was saying was talking about a self-employed person can feel like a bucket hauler. I was in the Air Force flying, and so I knew I was, you know, I can relate to that story because I was definitely hauling buckets because I worked for a paycheck. And people said, why would you want to give this up? Because when I started looking at going in biz for myself, then people said, well, you've got the security. You know, you'll always be taken care of here in the Air Force. But I could see all I was doing was flying, working, you know, for 2 weeks and getting a paycheck. So I was swapping hours for dollars.
Right.
So, you know, the biggest thing I had to deal with is overcome probably the anxiety or the fear or the advice I was getting from to leave that secure world of having a paycheck to going out and thinking about, you know, working for myself.
Plus, you told me that you had the aircraft you flew, which was C-141. That's
right.
The prime aircraft to go into the airlines.
That's right.
And so most of the pilots you hung out with, the same kind of pilots I hung out with, they envied you. They said, look, when you get out, when you retire the Air Force, you know, the airlines will hire you and you'll make even more money. The problem is you'd still be a bucket hauler.
Exactly.
And so the reason I like oil is because you drill, you take great risk. But when you strike, you just hook the pipeline up. And baby, that thing clicks every day, night or day. It's clicking. And man, that oil is pouring into my money. You know, it converts to money. I like pipelines. The key to success, I would say, is laziness. Because if you build that pipeline and then you have free time. So what you do with your free time, I build another pipeline. Well, some people say that's greedy. Well, that's up to you. But to me, that's smart because my time actually increases. My wealth actually increases by building pipelines. Whereas my friends in the Marine Corps, they say, well, you're silly. You know, why take the risk? Get a nice, safe government pension, which is not a bad plan if that's all you want to do is be comfortable. But I wanted to be rich. Today, those guys are comfortable. And today I have pipelines. When I worked for 4 years for another company, I saw my boss who said to me, he says, when I quit my job, I only have 4 years, he says, you're not going to make it. Well, I saw him the other day in San Francisco Airport. I saw him. He's still making $120,000 a year. And he asked me, he says, what happened to you and your friend, my friend and I who quit the company at the same time? I said, well, he just sold his company for $17 million, and I sold mine for several million also. We're financially free. And that's the difference. My boss is still hauling buckets, and we built pipelines. And the choice is up to you. One's not better or worse. It's just a matter of where you are at this stage of your life. That's the only difference.
My background's a little different than Bill's because he was already running a business of his own. But I had a lot of my friends give me some bad advice looking back on it. They thought it was good advice, but they were saying, you know, you shouldn't risk. You've got a great career here.
Job security.
And that's one of the biggest things that people are dealing with is, to me, it was a little bit of a fearful thing to go out in the business world because we're surrounded. I think 95% of the people work for somebody else most of the time. So it's hard to find the 5%. We get 95% of our advice from the 95%. And so how do we figure out how to get around the 5%?
I would say that's probably one of the hardest steps. It was 1978 or 77, I took the step. I was going to start my own business. I left the security of the job world. And all my friends, that was the hardest part, was because all of them wanted me to stay where they were at. They kept saying, you're not going to make it. It's too risky. What are you doing that for? You have a good career. And it was your friends. And that's why I write in Cashflow Quadrant, who are the six people you spend time with? Are they pushing you up or are they pulling you back? And including your spouse and your children, are they pushing you up or are they pulling you back? Because ultimately it comes down to your friends. Because in the world that I'm talking about and we're talking about on this tape, the world of the business owner, there are no guarantees. It's a world of how good are you? How much of a leader are you? Is there something inside of you that's calling right now that's saying, there's something better inside of me? And am I going to surround myself with people who are going to want to bring the best out of me or people who want me to be average? And if you want to surround yourself with people who want to bring out the best in you, that's why I support, that's why I fly here to talk on these tapes, is because I want to talk to people who want to go for it, people who want to go for their dreams with no guarantees. The problem is there's no guarantees. It's only how good are you? And if you don't think you're good enough, this is not for you. But if you suspect inside of you there's somebody great, somebody willing to come out, This is the program. It's because your self-development or your personal development program is really what I support more than anything else.
Yeah, you read the story of any great business leader. At some point, they had to take a step away from a security mindset. This is just like that. It's the same jump everyone has to take that's ever accomplished great things. What's great about this system is you've got an established pattern already there and a support system built in and some mentors. I know that that was the reason that within 5 years, I had a very successful business. And then I took a little spare time and built this business, which I think the pipeline analogy is perfect because this is a pipeline. This is a virtual pipeline because we're using the internet. And so in 5 years, I accomplished what it really took me about 14 years to accomplish in my other business.
Right. It's not just a pipeline. It's a global pipeline. The reason I like what you guys are doing is because you need to think globally. Most people just think regionally. You know, how big is my town? And that's what I really like about the system. It's a global system. You can go anywhere in the world. The beauty of your system is that when I create a business system, I have to have a lot of experts. I mean, I spend fortunes on attorneys, accountants, and airfare. I'm traveling constantly to keep my businesses afloat, keep them pumping. This business system, what it requires you to do is to be a leader. And what a leader does, a leader has vision. And a leader inspires. That's your job. The most important thing is if you're not going to be a leader, this is not the business to be in. You want to be the average guy, this is not the business. In the Marine Corps, I had to learn to inspire young men to risk everything they had, their lives, for the freedom of our country. And I had to speak to them about that. I said, are you willing to lay down your life so the rest of our country can live? And that's where I learned it. When I see your plan, you're asking people, said, there's no guarantees, but do you think that there's a future for you to be very, very wealthy? Are you going to do it for your family? That's what a leader does. It inspires individuals to go into the future and see the possibility of a world bigger and better than it is today. The Hawaiians used to have this story about the ohiki. Ohiki stands for black crab. The black crabs around the rock. They say you catch a bunch of black crabs and you put them in a little tin can, a gallon can. They'll rattle around, rattle around, rattle around. They make all this noise, the clinking of the feet against the can. Then one crab will finally say, I'm wasting my time rattling around this can. They'll look up and they'll see the light up above. And this crab will jump and do something to get out of that mess. And finally, the crab will reach, hook the edge of the can, come up to the surface and look above and say, hey, guess what? There's freedom out here. There's this beautiful world out here. The Hawaiians say, then all the other crabs, what they do is they grab them, they pull them down. And he says, what a leader has to do is not be pulled down. The leader has to be able to pull people up. And that's what your system, the business opportunity is to inspire people to come up, not be pulled down.
The importance I see of what we're talking about here is once people sign up, register, get a computer number, that's the first act, which is not much of an act of courage because, you know, it's no risk really. Then the next step is, are they going to, you know, go through the change in their mindset and try to learn? Having read your book, when I heard you talk about your rich dad, then I compared your rich dad and what he taught to the person I've learned from in this business is Dexter Yeager. The parallels between the material is just unbelievable. Because it's the same principles. And so you realize that the success principles are the same, whether you learn them in this business. But I think our business, we've developed a system to or a method of teaching those principles. And I learned them riding down the road, listening to a tape in my car on the way back and forth to work, because that's what I was doing, or going out to show this business to people. I'd be listening to the tapes. And then the principles began to come into my head. And I was just thinking about your book that if you had to purchase that book, the information that was in that book, how much would that be worth to you not to have had to go through the process of putting the information in the book just to be able to read it? And that's what I think our system offers people.
That's right. When I first met Dexter Yeager, I think I probably said 5 words to him. But the understanding, because the principles are the same. Birds of a feather do flock together. When I met Dexter, he was just like my rich dad. They think alike. They act alike. They sound alike. They have the same kind of way of looking at the world. But it's the same way like Thomas Edison looked at the world, because he was considered a moron, thrown out in the first grade because he was considered a moron. Mm. Henry Ford was considered ignorant by the popular community. And too often we listen to people who have nothing tell us what to do. So if you, I mean, it's a free country. You can live your life any way you want. In the quadrant, there's employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor. Years ago, what you're asking what the price was? The price was my freedom. Because when I looked at it, when my rich dad said, you have a choice. He said, if you listen to your poor dad, the school teacher, you'll become an employee. Now, the paycheck may be safe, but the price for your freedom is too high a price. He says, instead be, you know, the person that creates jobs, that inspires wealth, and that requires you to be a business owner. And he says, that's the way you need to think. Think like a team player, not as a rugged individual. You become more successful faster. So it is a fundamental change in the way you think. The hardest part for me was to hold to the integrity of my thoughts and to my beliefs. Because the world wants you, they program you to become an employee to make somebody else rich. That's not my program. My job was to make myself and other people rich, to think for myself, to stand on my own. I think the hardest part of the plan is what will come up for most people is a thing called disappointment. Because I know for me personally, in my evolution, becoming from, and I've been poor, as you read about in Cash Flow Quadrant, my wife and I were homeless for a little while, 3 weeks. And all your friends say, why don't you get a job? Why don't you get a job? Play it safe. And part of it, that's when you find out where you are, is you find out who you are in moments of greatest disappointment. In those moments of great disappointment, your friends reject you or things don't go the way you want, your plans don't go the way you want, are you defeated or are you inspired? And one of the greatest lessons my rich dad taught me, and which is what your system teaches people, in your moments of greatest disappointment, you find out who you are. Are you more motivated, more inspired to go on, or are you defeated by the disappointment? Because disappointment will let you go either way. And the greatest thing I found out is when somebody said no to me, when people said, you're crazy, you'll never make it, I had to use those moments as inspiration, not as defeat. And I think that's really the most important thing that you teach people, that in those moments of great disappointment, where things don't go the way you planned, you find out who you really are.
Yeah, my challenge was I was in the S quadrant, which is the self-employed quadrant. Even though I was making more money as a self-employed person over what an employee made, our sales and our revenues kept going up every year. But the challenge was we had to keep hiring more employees to help us with the additional work that it created. And so really the net effect, my income really didn't go up any because it was eaten up by new expenses. And so that's the real challenge of most people in the S quadrant. And the other thing that goes up is the amount of time that it required me to be down there. And so that was my big challenge was time when I saw this business because I didn't have any. I mean, my wife was pregnant with triplets. And I owned this business that kept taking more and more time, and I also was real involved in some outside activities. So until I realized that and really studied what we're doing, and that's building a business system that would eventually replace myself, once I understood that, that's when I said, this is what I have to do if I'm ever going to get more free time.
The difference between the E, the S, the B, and the I is called emotional intelligence. It is the new subject that came out around the early 80s by a man named Gardner. And he talked about how it's actually emotional intelligence that's more important than intellectual intelligence. For instance, when somebody says, I'm looking for job security, what's really getting them is fear. And when somebody is self-employed, the reason is because they don't trust somebody else. They have to do it on their own. You know, their song is Nobody Does It Better or Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. The problem with doing it that way, you have to work. You have to manage your employees. You have to do all that system. You are the system. And so for somebody to make the transition from the E, employee, and self-employed to the B side, it's really an emotional shift. And what you talk about is a fear, it's a peer pressure. With you, it's family pressure because it was a family business and all this. So the thing I talk about emotional intelligence is how do you overcome your fear? And the story that I tell people is that one day in Vietnam, I was flying my helicopter gunship off the aircraft carrier. I was up at 1,500 feet, had a crew of five, myself and crew chief, co-pilot, and two gunners. And at about 1,500 feet, we were fighting for a city called Quang Tri, where we knew, this is 72, we knew we were going to lose the war in Vietnam. And suddenly the gas, the NG gauge flickered on my aircraft. And the moment, you know, I remember in flight school when they said when that NG gauge flickered, it meant that you were about to crash. And suddenly I looked at that thing, and immediately thereafter, the engine of my aircraft quit. Now, a helicopter flying with 6 machine guns, 36 rockets, and a crew of 5 at 1,500 feet, it flies like a rock. It goes down. The tower said that up until the moment of the engine quitting, I sounded like John Wayne. So the moment after that engine quit, I sounded like a soprano and going, "Mayday! Mayday! I'm going to die! Mayday!" Now, the point I make here is this. What they train you to do in the Marine Corps as a pilot, when your engine quits, what you're supposed to do is push the nose forward. Right? Is that correct?
That's right.
But what happens is your emotions say, pull back, because you want to climb. You want more altitude. You want to feel secure again. So what kills most pilots is that split-second decision right in there. Are you going to make that decision? Are you going to pull back? Are you going to push forward? Now, as soon as that engine quit, the aircraft starts to sink. The last thing you want to do is push that nose forward. It is the very last thing you want to do. And what we were trained to do was immediately push, rock the nose as fast as possible, push it down, not pull it back. And what happens to most people in life, when fear hits them, they don't push forward, they pull back. So some of you are sitting listening to this tape right now and the fear is coming up. What are my friends going to say? What happens if I don't make it? There's no guarantees. And what most people do, which is emotional intelligence, is instead of pushing forward, they pull back. But to survive in this world, the reality is sometimes you need to push forward. Not all the time. But in this situation, flying that aircraft, engine quit, immediately I wanted to pull back. Everything emotionally said pull back, screaming, I want to live. But to live, my mind says you must rock that nose forward. And so what the pilots call is looking at the eyes of death. At 1,500 feet, I had to push that nose forward. All I saw was the South China Sea coming up at me at high speed. I had to maintain my cool, keep talking to the tower, say, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." I had to keep pushing that nose forward, keep pushing that nose forward, holding forward. Today, as a business owner, my success lies when everybody else says pull back, and even when myself says pull, I say to myself, pull back. I know sometimes I need to push forward and go against the very thing that seems like the most fearful, seems like the most certain, sometimes death. But that's what emotional intelligence is using your mind to overcome your fears. And I think the most important thing that your plan offers is that personal as well as emotional support, getting together, studying the same thing, listening to the tapes, having people who are pushing forward instead of pulling back. The unfortunate thing for most people in the world, especially if they're E's and S's, is most of their friends, when you talk to them, they'll initially want to pull back. But sometimes in your life, you need to make that decision. You'll say, this time I'm going to push forward. And that makes all the difference.
You know, I got two pilots sitting here with me. Robert, tell me exactly why you would push forward. What do you mean by that?
Oh, right. You're not a pilot. That's right.
The
reason a pilot pushes forward is because that's how you pick up speed again. You pick up momentum. If you pull back, unfortunately, you lose momentum and you fall faster. It's the strangest thing. So the reason you want to push forward is you want to pick up momentum so you can fly again.
So you move towards your fear.
That's correct.
Yeah, the easiest thing when I looked at this is to want it to go away, because you know, what if this thing works? But then you think, well, what if I can't do it? And today with electronic commerce and tri-digital commerce, the way we have this structured, and you can have a pipeline of income, but you still have to maybe force yourself to do some things you had never done, because
right.
You're going to have to talk to some people and drive some traffic. And I think the thing that helped me as much as anything overcome the fear was I began to listen to some tapes of other people that were doing what I was going to do. And I went to some meetings and I heard some people that were doing what I was wanting to do. And I began to listen to those people instead of listening to the people that were telling me that this wasn't a good thing for me to do with my security I would have in the Air Force.
Right. I think that's the hardest part for most people in making that decision is, what are my friends going to say, and what if I don't make it? What is my family going to think? And those are things that are real, valid considerations. But like I said in the story of my helicopter crash at 1,500 feet, at that moment, I knew I had to push forward. And that makes all the difference out there, is do you have the courage? The good news is that more and more people are now finally aware that a safe, secure job may not be as safe and secure as it looks. most people are aware that their 401ks may not provide, you know, the good news is we're going to live longer after age 65. The bad news, you may have to work until the day you die or hope that Medicare is there when you need the money to go into, you know, old age homes and all this. This is a plan that you can start right now. You can plan to be richer beyond your wildest dreams. The beauty of your pipeline, the beauty of your plan is it's not limited by anything. It's only limited by how hard you push, how many people you talk to, how many people you're actually a leader to, how many people do you inspire out there to share the vision, to share the plan. That's all it's limited to. And the process, like I said, give it 5, give it 10 years. But it's not so much how much money you make. I always say it's who you become in the process, who you become. Are you happy where you are now, or do you know there's something more inside of you? That's really the part that I speak to as far as your plan. Money is money. But your system is the best system I've ever seen for training people to move from the E and the S quadrant to the B quadrant. That's what I support.
And you can do that with a few hours you have that, you know, that most people already feel they're too busy, and you don't have to give up what you're currently doing. You can build this pipeline, as we've been referring it to, in your spare time. And one of the mentors in the business, Dexter Yeager, says, you make a living between 8 and 5, and after 5, you become wealthy. And that's what we're doing.
That's exactly what my rich dad said. He says, you know, the only difference between rich people and poor people, the only difference is what they do in their spare time. That is the only singular difference. My rich dad also says, you don't get rich at work, you get rich at home. In other words, this is homework. You know, you give your kids homework. Well, this is homework for you. This is when you get rich. It's what you do at home over the kitchen table with your family, your spouse, your kids, your family, whatever it is. You get rich at home, not at work. That's probably the biggest thing my rich dad taught me, is that that's where you get rich. The difference is what you do in your spare time.
You know, there are certain things employees, we're talking about employee mentality or employee thinking. There are certain phrases that you can tell that get ingrained in people growing up, going through the education system, that identify maybe as employee thinking.
Well, that's what, you know, every one of the school teachers I had, they said, you know, if you don't get good grades, you won't get a safe, secure job. And I said, thank you very much. We don't really want one yet. You know, for them, that's very important. I'm not here to invalidate their point of view. That's really what they want. My question today is, what do you want? The issue I'm saying is, are you willing to start minding your own business, or are you going to spend the rest of your life minding somebody else's business? And if you want to be really rich and at the risk of being a little uncomfortable at times, then you may want to start minding your own business and thinking like a business owner, not like what the world has trained most people to become.
Yeah, I think the issue is personal freedom. And there's a price for personal freedom. And the people that own the businesses, they pay that price up front, and then they enjoy the freedom for the rest of their life. Where an employee
pays for it over and over again.
They pay for that every day. And so that's, to me, that was really what opened my mind up, is that, you know, I had to change the way I viewed the way cash flow comes into my house. And I had to move from the left side of the quadrant, which means I got to show up every day to create that cash flow, to building a system that gave me the freedom to do other things and increase my income at the same time.
Before I end, I'll leave 2 tips right here, which are not covered in my books. Number one is, what I recommend to people is keep your daytime job. But what most people do when they need more money is they get a second job. They get a part-time job. That's really ridiculous, especially if you understand what I understand about the business world. So what most people do with the employee mentality is they keep their job, then they get a part-time job, and that's the same problem persists. What I recommend is keep your full-time daytime job and start a part-time business. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Amen.
That makes a lot of sense to me, especially when you read my book and you get into some of the sections I get into, which I'm not going to talk about right now. But the other part is this. My rich dad also said there's only 2 things in investing. There's time and money. And most people are really afraid of losing money. They're so afraid of losing money, they don't invest time or money into anything else. Rich dad said this. He says that you can always make the money back. You can lose money, and you can always make it back. In fact, you can make it up in spades. It pours in after that. But you can never make time back. Time is a commodity that's always going, always moving. So you can make the money back, but you can never make the time back. And so for some of you right now listening to this tape, the issue really is more time and how you invest that time wisely.
And kind of wrapping up, Robert, A lot of people listening to this tape probably just signed up, registered, and what would you recommend? You're not involved in our business, but as an outsider, what would you recommend that they do to get the greatest results from being involved in the business?
Well, there's two things. You know, when we started this whole thing, you really have to mind your own business today. Like it or not, you have to mind your own business. And we've been trained to mind everybody else's business. And I think that's kind of old thinking. The second thing is really choose your friends wisely. I am very, very careful because what makes you rich and what makes you poor are really your thoughts. And if you have friends with poor thoughts, that'll affect your thoughts. And I have friends with very rich thoughts, people who wanted to be rich. They're all business owners. You know, our conversations are different, almost, my friends. You know, how much did you sell your company for? My friend just sold his last week for $17 million. There's a difference in the conversation. Or did you take your company public? When I talk to most employees, I say, can you sell your job and how much could you get for it? Can you pass it on to your kids? The answer is no. And that's really why you should mind your own business. But more importantly, choose your friends carefully.
In our business, what I did is I chose my friends. I didn't know what I was doing then, but I began to listen to tapes. I changed where I got my input from.
That's exactly correct.
And I began to read some books that were recommended that taught about success principles and what it took to be successful in my own business.
That's correct. The most important thing is the way we think, and those ideas come from great books and great tapes and, you know, great videos. But we do live in a free country, and you have a choice as to what books, what tapes, and what you watch on TV. The choice is up to you, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, this is an opportunity to listen to the 3% out there that are financially independent. And instead of listening to the 97%, which most of us end up listening to every day, I think that's the value that the training system brings. It brings us mentors that we can every day move towards the right side of the quadrant in thinking like a business owner.
That's right. My rich dad was my mentor, and he remains to be my mentor. Today, I still surround myself with mentors, people who are much smarter, much more successful than I am. I really don't waste my time with people who are less successful than me because it's a waste of my time.
We also have one other thing, and that's meetings. You know, through association, that's what you're doing at a meeting is you're listening to the people, mentor and teach these principles.
Right. It's reinforcement. It's new ideas. But it's also the thing about the helicopter. You keep pushing forward because the world out there wants to push you back. And really, you need to find that safe space at those meetings, at the gatherings, within the tapes also. There are places that can help you push forward. As I say, most of the world wants you to be average. And if you want to be average, this is not the plan. If you want to be very successful and become all you can be, that's what I support. You have a brilliant system for that. It's one of the best educational systems to train people to be business owners. You want to be trained to be an employee, just keep going to school.
We sincerely hope that the ideas presented here assist you in the development of a strong and profitable business. And while no one can guarantee success, many have proven these ideas to be powerful tools in the realization of their goals and dreams. The purchase of this program is optional and unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. All rights are reserved. This is a copyrighted program of Internet Services Corporation.